I'd like you to get your Bibles now, if you would, please, and turn with me in them to the book of Isaiah tonight, to the 35th chapter. It's a beautiful chapter before us tonight, and hopefully one that will give some hope in the midst of storms of life. Tonight we're going to consider the subject of suffering and thanksgiving. A little different subject than we have in the past on Thanksgiving Eve services, but we'll consider suffering and thanksgiving, and particularly the message the Lord has for us from Isaiah chapter 35. So let's give our careful attention to his word as it's read now, Isaiah 35, verses 1 through 10. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Please bow with me briefly in prayer. Father, we pray that you would bless our time in your word tonight. May you bless it to our comfort and our edification. And we pray you would bless it to our conviction and our repentance where needed. We pray that you would receive the glory and honor that is due to your name this evening. We ask these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Each year at Thanksgiving, we take time to reflect on God's grace to us and to celebrate his goodness by enjoying the bounty that he has kindly bestowed upon us. And even now, all of us are looking forward to that time tomorrow. And while we do make much of the external circumstances of our lives, in other words, at Thanksgiving, we remember that we have prosperity and we enjoy that prosperity here in the United States. We think of the food and the water, the clean water that we have in abundance, or the homes that we live in, or the freedoms that we have as United States citizens, things Tom prayed about this evening. All of those things are things that we should give thanks to God for. But it is the case that while we give thanks and we are happy and glad about those kinds of things, it is the case that even in the best of times, our joy and celebrations will be tinged with some sorrow. We might be smiling on the outside. We might have a bit of a happy time, but inside, many of us will still be feeling the ache of lost loved ones, the stress that we carry from various burdens that we have upon us, whether personally or as families tonight, or the nagging pains even of ailments that we are still struggling with as people who walk in this veil of tears. And so the question before us this evening, which I would like to deal with a little bit tonight, is how do we hold in balance suffering and thanksgiving? How are we to celebrate even while we grieve? How can we rejoice even though we are in some pain? Well, a major part of the answer to that question is given to us here in the 35th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Chapter 35 is really a respite within a long section that predominantly is about sin and affliction and judgment. In fact, if you have your Bibles open and you just kind of glance back over chapter 34, you will see that the preceding words coming into this chapter are what are called a judgment oracle from God against the nations. And therefore, coming into chapter 35, we actually reach something of an island in the midst of a sea of very bad news. And the main message of the chapter is that though things look dark and dreary right now, though you may be in pain and affliction and sorrow right now, redemption and singing and joy are on the horizon. As Psalm 30, verse 5, which we read for our call to Thanksgiving this evening, reminds us, weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Tonight I want to walk us through this brief chapter. It's only 10 verses, but I want to do it in 3 points tonight. And I have those on the outline for you this evening so we can see the message of hope that the Lord lays out before us here tonight. But before we do that, I want to make the point that I am not here just going back to some passage in the Old Testament and trying to find some nice sounding words and then tearing those words out of their context and trying to apply them to us today to make us feel better. Rather, in applying this passage to us, I'm actually following the author of the book of Hebrews, who quotes verse 3 of our chapter, Isaiah 35, in his section on dealing with the hard circumstances and discipline that the Lord sometimes brings our way. He says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 11 through 14, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore," and here's the quote from our passage, "lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord." And so clearly the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, viewed this passage, Isaiah chapter 35, as relevant to the Christian life that we walk today, relevant to the struggles that we face along the path of faith. And so with that word in mind, let's walk through the chapter briefly as we try to draw some conclusions and applications to our lives this evening. The first section, the first four verses really describe what we might call life in the desert. And they begin with a word, notice, and it's kind of interesting, they begin with a word to the deserts and wastelands, saying to them prophetically that they will be glad and they will rejoice. And it becomes really clear by the end of verse 4 that the deserts and the wastelands are actually something of a metaphor for those who are poor in spirit, for people who are overrun by the cares of this world, those who are weak and those who are feeble. Because we read in verse 4, say to those who have anxious hearts, or say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. In other words, this is a word to all saints, to all the saints, all those who believe, who are overwhelmed by the weight of life. This is a prophecy about the future of all God's people whose lives are full of trial and are full of persecution and are full of hardship and tragedy. It's a word of encouragement to those who live their lives in the deserts, in the wastelands. And the word is, your God is coming and He will save you. Your God is coming and He will save you. And because of His coming salvation, this brings us to the second section, the deserts will be brimming with life. Verses 5 through 7 speak of a day in the future of those who live in the wasteland and who feel deserted, that when God comes to save them, they will be so transformed that their circumstances will seem like the Garden of Eden. In other words, the salvation that God will bring to them is going to be so glorious that it can only be described in terms of a blind man receiving his sight, or a deaf person receiving hearing, or a lame person leaping like a deer, or a mute singing forth with joy. Indeed, it will be as though the Lord has turned the desert into a river. He will have turned the waste place into streams of refreshing water, and it will begin to flow forth. And this picture is what began to happen. Exactly what is prophesied here is exactly what began to happen when our God came to save us. In other words, when our God came to save us in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the very salvation that is spoken of here. He will come and save you. And as He began His work of salvation, what happened? He began to give sight to the blind. He enabled the mute to speak. He healed the lame so that they could leap and run and walk with joy. And He gave hearing to the deaf. In fact, Jesus spoke of Himself in His ministry, saying, in John chapter 7, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. You see, Jesus understands the very salvation that He would bring, the very salvation that He embodied. He understands that salvation in terms of water quenching thirst. And He speaks of those who partake of His salvation as those who draw water out of the wells of salvation. Which then brings us to finally consider the last verses here and the fact that there will be a highway through the desert. A highway through the desert. The picture is that those who are like deserts in their circumstances or who are in affliction as in a waste place will be so transformed by the salvation of God that their circumstances will become to them like the healing of birth defects having been reversed. As though their deserts have become gardens. But how can this be? How can this be if we are still living in this world? Is this only a promise of what it will be like once we get to heaven? Or is this a promise given to us that we will never again in this life know pain or sorrow or suffering? Well, these are pertinent questions, and therefore it's important to see here that what is being promised here is actually a highway through the desert wastelands. It's a highway through the desert wastelands of this life that leads toward our heavenly home. In other words, no, this is not a promise that there will be no suffering or sorrow or pain in this life. That is not what God promises us, but it is a promise of a way through those trials and tribulations and afflictions of this life, which will, that way through, will result in joy and thanksgiving and gladness now. But notice here that this is a very exclusive highway that the Lord speaks about and that the Lord promises to provide. Indeed, it's in verse 8 called the highway of holiness. And there are certain ones that are not permitted on this highway. It's not for the unclean. It's not for the violent. And yet, at the same time, it is not a highway. It is not a path through the desert that is for the high and the mighty. It's not for the smart and the beautiful. In fact, it's said here that even if a fool gets on this highway, they wouldn't be able to go astray. And so, where can you find this highway? Where is this highway? How can we get on it? How do we get on this highway that promises joy and thanksgiving through the desert circumstances of this life? Well, as the text says here very clearly, it is for the redeemed and the ransomed alone. In other words, it is for those who were once in bondage, those who were once living in the slavery of their own sin, but now have been redeemed and brought back. In other words, this road of joy, this highway of holiness, this pathway through the desert, in other words, this pathway through the fallen world that we live in, is only available for those who are in Christ, who are in God's salvation. You see, Isaiah is prophesying here of the salvation that has come, the salvation that has come in the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes to the weak and the needy and the ones who have suffered in the deserts and the wastelands of this life. It comes to those who have been in bondage and slavery and who know the pain and the sorrow that sin and transgression and iniquity bring. And yet it is such a powerful and a glorious and a joy-giving salvation that it puts a song of thanksgiving in the mouths of those who are still walking this path through the desert of this age. Indeed, it enables this highway, this salvation, enables those who are in the wastelands and the deserts of life who are going through the trials and heartaches of living in this fallen world, it enables them and it provides a place for them to rise above it all and walk on the highway of salvation. It puts their feet on the way of holiness, and it fixes their eyes on the everlasting joys of Zion, the heavenly city. That is how it is on this highway, this salvation that God has provided in Jesus Christ. That is how we can walk in this life. That is how we can sing and give thanks with gladness, even as the final words of the text say, sorrow and sighing begin to flee away. Or as one has beautifully summarized it, the precious promises of peace in the gospel will shortly culminate in the endless joys and rest of the coming kingdom, when the saints shall reign with Christ. Vengeance will then be taken on the powers of darkness, and recompense will be made to the saints for all injuries and losses. All the earth shall break forth in beauty, and great wonders will be wrought among men. We of all people on earth have the greatest reason to give thanks to God. Our thanksgiving actually transcends the valleys and shadows and deserts of this life. Indeed, it even transcends our joy, and our thanksgiving should transcend the material blessings and benefits that we enjoy in our affluent Western society. It is truly a spirit-wrought joy and thanksgiving that flows from the mouth of the redeemed, who love to say so and who love to thank Him for His goodness. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this highway of holiness that You have made for us in the desert of this life. And we thank You for the joy of the everlasting inheritance that we can even now begin to express and sing forth. Father, we thank You tonight that we have a reason for thanksgiving that goes beyond our circumstances, that transcends even the good things that You have given us in a temporal way, a thanksgiving that is not affected ultimately by what we have or what we feel or what we are going through, but a thanksgiving that looks to You with joy, sets its eyes upon You and that celestial city that we are even now walking towards on this great highway that You've made for us. Father, we thank You for our Lord Jesus. We thank You that He has come and He has lifted us up and He has seated us together with Him in the heavenly places. And from that vantage point, we can sing forth the glory of His name, and we can sing forth with great thanksgiving to You, our God, for what You have done for us. We praise You tonight, and we give thanks to Your holy name as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.